It's Derek here from Bomb Socks, and welcome to the Bomb Bites podcast. Hey, if you're new to Bomb Bites, it's a service from our company Bomb Socks to help be a resource to you as you're studying along with the Come Follow Me curriculum for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hope you enjoy today's episode. Okay, we are getting into Jacob chapter 5, my friends, all 77 verses of it, and we're not going to hit all 77 verses over the next couple of days, but I do want to hit on just some key elements to help you in your studies as you go through this olive tree allegory. Now, one thing to remember is this is not Jacob's allegory. Jacob is quoting Zenas's allegory, and we don't know very much about Zenas, but what we do know about him is this guy is amazing. Now, if you go to the Guide to the Scriptures and look up Zenas, we're able to know a little bit more about him. It says he is a prophet of Israel, so he's in that northern kingdom of Israel, in the Old Testament times. We don't know what time he was in, we just know that he was an Old Testament prophet whose prophecies of Christ's mission are found only in the Book of Mormon. So Satan did a really good job of taking the plain and precious truths of Zenas's prophecies and teachings out of the Old Testament. That's one of the reasons I'm so grateful for the Book of Mormon that helps restore some of those plain and precious truths. It says that he prophesied of Christ's burial and 3 days of darkness in 1 Nephi. He predicted the gathering of Israel. Jacob quoted Zenas's parable of the tame and wild olive trees, which we're going over this week. Jacob then expounds on Zenas's allegory in Jacob 6, which again, we'll bring that up later on this week. He taught about prayer and worship. If you want to read some of the coolest stuff about prayer, go to Alma 33, and you will read some of Zenas's best writings. He taught that redemption comes through the Son in Alma 34. Helaman chapter 8 says that Zenas was slain for his bold testimony. I picture this guy as more like an Isaiah, someone who just preached the gospel so boldly and so powerfully, but he was killed for his testimony. He spoke of the restoration of the Lamanites, and he also testified of the destruction at Christ's death in 3 Nephi 10. So what we know is Zenas is amazing, and I wish I knew more about him, but I am grateful that Jacob took the time to be able to write down over 70 verses in these plates to help us understand who Zenas is. Now, one thing to understand as you're getting ready to study Jacob chapter 5, this has nothing to do with horticulture. This has nothing to do with planting trees. It is all about you and I and our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you understand that right at the outset as you're starting to read this particular chapter, you will understand it differently. This is just not about trees. It's about you and me. In fact, you go into Jacob chapter 5, verse number 3, it says, "For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken thee." Again, this is an allegory. It is a parable where you take something side by side and you compare it. "O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay." Now you really start breaking down this verse here. You and I are the olive trees. I look at the man here in this verse as Jesus Christ, the one who is over all of the trees in the vineyard. The vineyard represents the world that we live in. And then you click on the word decay and it says apostasy of Israel. So right out the gate here, you've got Zenas saying these olive trees are starting to decay and what can we do to help them? Well, you get into the next few verses and what you've got here is gospel horticulture at its finest. How to get the tree to stop decaying. Verse number 4, it came to pass that the master of the vineyard went forth and he saw that his olive tree, you and I, began to decay. We're starting to make some dumb choices. And he said, "I will prune it and dig about it and nourish it, that perhaps it may shoot forth young and tender branches, and it perisheth not." So let me break down those things right here. Now you get into the concept of pruning. It basically means to reduce unnecessary material by cutting it away. So the things that are not necessary in our lives, they don't even have to be sinful things, just the things that are unnecessary. You know, I look back at our most recent general conference just a few days ago. You tend to find things that are not necessary in your life that you can cut out or that you can prune and you can move forward with. Again, not even necessarily sinful things, but you're moving forward. Sometimes the Lord of the vineyard loves to prune and get those things out of our lives that are not necessary. You get the concept of digging about the tree. Now, digging literally means to tear up soil. You're like changing root systems. You are getting things out of there that are unnecessary. So not only is it similar to pruning, but you're getting into the roots of some things and you're tearing some things up to be able to make changes. You break up and you bring things to the surface and into new light so that you can do new things. From a gospel perspective, maybe that's missionary service, maybe it's marriage, maybe it's new church callings that the Lord is trying to do to help dig you up a little bit so you can bring new things to light. You get into the concept of nourishing. Now, here's where this gets crazy. How do you nourish a tree? Well, in Jacob chapter 5, you go all the way down to verse number 47 and verse number 64, and it gives an interesting concept of how to nourish a tree. "Nay, I have nourished it, and I have digged about it," which we've talked about, "I have pruned it, and I have dunged it." Oh, right? You're all excited about that. Verse 64, wherefore dig about them, prune them, and dung them once more. Nobody likes dung put on them, right? It's manure. It's the thing that causes us to grow, even though we do not like it. It's the trials in our lives. It's the adversity in our lives. It's the things that we do not like. They smell bad. It's uncomfortable, but they give us the opportunity to grow. And just because you have dung being put on you does not necessarily mean you're going to grow. That idea of whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I don't know if I necessarily buy that, because there is some really rough adversity and some trials that really do destroy some people. A lot of it is up to the tree to decide whether or not you want to grow from those experiences. It reminds me of a story that I saw in a BYU devotional years ago. It's called The Smell of Manure. On my way to visit the Jameses the other evening, I saw a wheat field that appeared to be greener and taller than the others. Thinking about it for a while, I concluded that occasionally some loving farmer drives over the field with his tractor and pumps manure all over it, or that dung. I thought, my, it's just like life. Here we are, minding our own business, growing our little hearts out. We're really quite green and somewhat productive and very sincere. When out of the blue, life deals us a dirty one and we are up to our eyebrows in manure. We, of course, conclude that life as we know it has just ended and will never be the same again. But one day, when the smell and the shock are gone, we find ourselves greener and more productive than we have ever been. Unfortunately, and this is where we all agree, no matter how often we go through these growing experiences, we are never able to appreciate the sound of the tractor or the smell of the manure. Dunging is a very, very interesting concept, and it is very relevant when you're trying to grow a tree. You go back to verse number 8 in Jacob chapter 5, and it talks about the concept of grafting. It says, I'll take these young and tender branches, I will graft them whithersoever I will. Whenever I read that verse, I always think about missionary service. I think about how the Lord takes individuals and he puts them in a different part of his vineyard. He grafts them to somewhere else. Even in our own family right now, we have a missionary out serving, and he has been grafted from where we are to somewhere else, all in an effort to help him and the people around him to grow. Sometimes the Lord grafts people into your life. Sometimes he takes you and grafts you into other people's lives. Grafting literally means to join or implant for the purpose of uniting. Wonderful gospel principle here with that. Well, and we've only covered just a few verses today, but the bottom line with this, the allegory refers to various time periods of history, and we'll talk a little more about that tomorrow. But this is really a story of love and patience and compassion. Passion in trying to get trees to grow. That is the beauty of the olive tree allegory, and I love how this starts out. And I have a testimony of these ways of growing a tree. It's not always the most fun. In fact, it's usually very difficult on the tree, but it's what helps that tree to grow. I am grateful for what this teaches me, and I know that they are true. If you'd like to check out our video that goes with today's podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook by simply searching Bomb Socks. That's BOMSOCKS. And be sure to check out our amazingly comfortable gospel-themed socks at bombsocks.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll join us again for more episodes of Bomb Bites. Godspeed, and have a great day.